Today's featured guest, Louis Navalier from Navalier Associates. Louis Navalier runs Navalier & Associates. Welcome back, Louis Navalier.
Thank you.
You've given folks advice for over a decade on GoldSeek.com radio. This year, you were a bit pensive on U.S. equities. You'd felt they'd run a bit far too fast, getting ahead of earnings, which weren't terribly robust, but no need to panic yet. Your advice has been spot on. Do you think with this really odd period of low volatility that we've seen over the past few weeks, are we gearing up for a new push to record highs in the U.S. indices?
We're melting up, and this will be clarified on Friday, August 26th, when Janet Yellen confirms that the Fed's less likely to raise rates. The main reason we're melting up is we had record bond issuance in August, and companies are going to take all that money they raised and refinance their existing balance sheets, pay down their existing debt with the new cheaper debt, and continue to buy their stock back. The winner of the low interest rate environment is the stock market. The stock market yields over 2%. That's well above the 10-year treasury at 1.55. And as long as we have this low interest rate environment, the stock market will continue to melt up from buybacks. We also seem to be in a typical presidential election year cycle, where what's essentially going to happen is we're going to rally going into the elections because they're all going to be out sucking up to us, entertaining us. And then we'll elect somebody, and we might have a little buyer's remorse after that, but we'll cheer up around Thanksgiving, have a nice year-end rally. Markets are seasonally strong then. And then we go into the new year, and then every new president will get a 90 to 120 days and then before we have any remorse. That will be the pattern we're going to follow, so it looks pretty good through April.
You've brought up the idea again of bond issuance, and of course, this is where corporations are selling debt for virtually nothing. I mean, they don't have to pay any serious interest on their debt, a modicum of interest, and that gives them the opportunity then to buy back capital, their own shares, which of course reduces the supply outstanding in the market, boosts equities. That's been your thesis now for years, and it's certainly held true. Doesn't it take more, though, than just stock buybacks to send shares higher, and even, enthusiasm over the November election?
We're starting to have better than expected earnings. There's still a bit of a sales issue. A good example is J.M. Smucker beat on earnings today, but sales are disappointing. So they hit the stock. Personally, I think Smucker's fine. It's just another example. A company can buy its stock back and boost its earnings. And the food prices are low, so they make money just being in the food business, so does Tyson Food and other food companies. Going back to the real issue here is the stock market's dying. It's actually disappearing. It's actually shrinking. And it's all being fueled by the buybacks and the balance sheet restructuring. The central banks did something significant. The Bank of Japan has doubled their quantitative easing. The Bank of England has had to cut rates and has another rate cut coming, plus then now they have negative rates 2 years out. And then the European Central Bank, of course, has negative rates. But both the Bank of England and the European Central Bank have joined the Bank of Japan to authorize corporate debt buybacks with their quantitative easing. So initially the quantitative easing was only in government debt, and now it includes corporate debt. So a lot of your buying pressure for the corporate debt is coming from the central banks themselves, not our Fed, but the other central banks. So money sloshes all around the world. There's this worldwide limbo contest, whose rates can go the lowest. You've got over $13 trillion of government debt now with a negative yield. And so the people are naturally going to corporates. And now you have an earnings recovery. The earnings sales and earnings are still negative, but if you throw out energy and financials, they're positive. So we might have a little glitch with energy. Natural gas is looking very good because of the hot summer. Farmer's Almanac has forecasted a freezing cold winter. That's actually a reliable source, something to do with sunspots and things. So natural gas is looking very promising, but we have a glut of gasoline. We expect crude oil prices to be slipping big time come September after Labor Day. So there's going to be some glitches out there that are going to derail the market. But, gold, you brought up precious metals. Gold, I think it's best 6 months since 1980, the first half of this year. A lot of it's coming from increased pressure from ETFs because gold zigged when everything zagged this year. Gold is getting a bigger allocation, okay? Obviously, silver's an amplified gold, but I think the precious metals rally is largely due to the lack of confidence in central banks. And our Fed seems to be losing control of the situation. I think they're going to basically say because of falling rates, deflation, lackluster economy, they're pretty close to normal. And that's what Yellen will clarify in her Jackson Hole speech.
You know, our Fed policymakers taking a hawkish stance. We went from virtually no odds of a rate hike for the next 11, 12 months to stronger odds now by as soon as about 50-50 odds by December of this year. And then it starts to actually increase into January, February, March of 2017. Can you give us some ideas why the Fed funds futures don't jibe with the policymaker?
Well, the Fed fund futures are everything. I would listen to them more than I listen to the Fed. I have a joke that the Fed can't hit the broadside of the barn. If you remember in December, they said inflation's coming back, we got robust economic growth, so we're going to raise rates four times. Then in March, they came out and said, because they update these things quarterly, well, I don't see the inflation, economy's not as strong, so we're only going to raise rates two times. Then basically what happened is they are now going to admit here again that maybe one rate increase, August 26th, they might admit it's going to be none. If they do increase rates, it'll be in December. It'll be another one and done just like it was last year. But right now market rates have come down, so there's no reason for the Fed to raise rates. And again, we're going to have a lot of deflation news. We have producer prices fell 0.4%. Consumer prices were flat. And now we got a collapse in crude oil prices and gasoline prices coming in September. A lot of it's seasonal in nature, but it will affect the inflation numbers.
This concept of seasonal trends within energy, is this a reliable indicator? Would it be something that in the past you've counted on to make investment decisions?
I think the Farmer's Almanac is more important for natural gas. Obviously, what the Farmer's Almanac is looking at is the sunspots, the lack of solar activity. They're worried about a new marauder minimum. It's a weather pattern that last time the sunspots slow down. If the sunspot activity flares up, then it's all going to change again. There is a problem with the jet stream and oscillations. So you can have one part of the United States cold, another hot. The sunspot is what the Farmer's Almanac is referring to, and that's actually pretty legit. It sounds kind of corny and hokey, but there's some actual science to it that's a little bit better than most. The wild card for the farmers is the oscillation of the jet stream. You know, these farmers have hybrid seed, so that we have record corn production. We have very resistant wheat. We are growing corn farther north than ever before. Our wheat fields are more productive. The wheat, corn, soybean production in the United States is very, very strong. Somewhat's due to the weather. A lot of it's due to the hybrid seeds that they now have.
Our listeners are keen to hear your thoughts on whether or not this remarkable nearly 200% advance in the XAU, despite current weakness in a couple of weeks or so. But we're starting to see some signs in the technicals, you know, the 50 and the 200 period moving average in the weekly chart, suggesting that maybe the worst has passed from this five-year correction in the metals. Any comments?
Yeah, I think the biggest problem with metals is you have your own cycle, too. You know, you have the Indian wedding cycle. And so you've got 6 months of the year where you got hot and heavy demand, and then the rest of the year where demand cools off. But the demand for gold that's investment-related is steadily rising, and a lot of it's coming from GLD, the gold ETFs. Again, what happened is when things were oscillating early in the year, gold wasn't. It was zigging when things zag, so it shows up in all these allocation models. And they're buying it for GLD, and that's what's got physical gold demand up, and that's why the first 6 months of the year were the strongest since 1980. The knock against gold is it doesn't have interest. Well, guess what? No interest is better than negative interest. So I think that a lot of the demand for gold is investment-related, and I think the lack of confidence in central banks is boosting gold demand.
We have about $13 trillion in negative sovereign debt floating around the world, and that's increasing at a really solid clip. So, you know, with $4 trillion in pension funds searching for better than negative returns, certainly that's played a big factor in gold's rally as well as U.S. equities. It's, in other words, it seems to be the only game in town. Short covering, I'm sure, has to be a big aspect of this year's advance.
Absolutely. The biggest problem we have with financial markets is correlation. And when things move in tandem, the diversification argument is, it undermines the argument for diversification. But the good news is when things are moving, gold's not moving in tandem with them. It zigs when the thing zags. So the question is, how much gold do you have to add to your portfolio to smooth out all the bumps and gyrations out there? And gold has certainly gotten a bigger allocation, and even some of the gold stocks. When I run my reports, I see lots of gold stocks. I would rather people own physical gold than the gold stocks, but I'm known to recommend a couple of gold stocks now, like Harmony, HMY.
Really, what gold does is it allows you to, I think, encapsulate that free lunch that's been referred to after Markowitz, and that is the free lunch that we have through diversification. It's just one of those hallmarks of successful investors. It helps you balance your betas in the portfolio, boost your expected return while lowering volatility. It's a win-win. Those are the two keys to investment success.
I'm very proud that I have a lot of products that are top rated. My small cap growth is top rated now in pension investments the last 5 years. So is my power dividend portfolio. I'm top rated in tactical ETFs, 1 and 2 Morningstar. Basically, we've been top rated by being picky. The markets have been too narrow. Just like you had to buy gold, like when you go to retail, you had to buy Ultra Salon and fragrances. When you buy dividend yield, you got to buy dividend companies that boost their dividends. It's still a shockingly narrow market out there. And, you know, on our websites, we have dividend graders, portfolio graders, and we encourage people to get portfolio checkups so they can be in the creme la creme. As this market went higher, only 2 of the 10 sectors were leading the way. I'd rather own the leading stocks in these key sectors than the whole market. So I know a lot of people are complacent now because they think we're in a bull market. They think the S&P is doing well. They're happy the S&P yields more than the alternatives. But I want to warn people that as this thing goes higher, it's going to get more narrow. So I still think people should get portfolio checkups and invest in the creme la creme. I have 2 websites that people can view. My management company is Navalier.com, and my newsletter site is NavalierGrowth.com. Free databases on each newsletter site. There's a free newsletter called Market Mail on Navalier.com. We put a lot of our research free in the public domain because we're trying to help people. So that's what we would encourage people to do. We like to use our databases to grade your stocks, and hopefully you just have what we call A and B graded stocks, which are strong buys or buys. You know, I think it's very important to stay in the creme la creme. On Navalier.com, we show you the performance of our graders, and they're very, very impressive. So you want to take advantage of our free services. Our private client group gives free portfolio checkups for people all the time, and we're happy to do more in-detail research as well if you want to talk to somebody at our firm.
Well, without hyperbole, simply the best advice. We appreciate your thoughts. Thank you.
Thank you.
Today's featured guest. The gold and silver mining sector is red hot. Every investment portfolio needs precious metal shares. GoldSeek.com's top stock analysts have done it again, identifying the next solid gold nugget opportunity. Brazil Resources, based in the 8th largest economy with a mining-friendly reputation, almost 10 million ounces of gold reserves. Industry insiders are accumulating shares of Brazil Resources. The notable management team includes Chairman Amir Adnani, a rising star in the mining industry with a reputation for moving projects rapidly into production. Fortune magazine lists Chairman Adnani in the prestigious list of 40 under 40 ones to watch. Plus, shareholders benefit from the insights and backing of enigmatic Brazilian billionaire Mario Garnero, CEO of Brazil Invest Group, the nation's foremost merchant and investment Bank and founding director. Their Sal George project is 100% owned with paved highway access, a nearby workforce, and a hydroelectric power source near the major gold deposits. Their next top project includes three deposits identified by major gold producers, plus their Rhea project, which is a joint venture with Areva, benefits from a $10 million treasure map in the hottest address for uranium production in Canada. But the story gets even more exciting with their Whistler project, offering geographic diversification in South Central Alaska. To find out more about this unique opportunity, please direct your web browsers to BrazilResources.com. At Yahoo Finance, ticker symbol BRI.V. Remember to ride the exciting gold stock run of 2016 and beyond. Your portfolio will thank you for adding shares of Brazil Resources.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice. We'll be right back.